Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
I'd like to praise the Lord for embracing the Truth Conference.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Elder Speaker, Elder Pickett, Brother Sean Kennedy, for being some of the best entrepreneurs ever. To trust such a one like me to stand in front of you all. But we know that it's the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. I'd like to thank the Lord for all the preaching brothers, for the encouragement, and for the modeling we watch. And we learn. And I would like to thank the Lord for all the saints who have been praying and encouraging and just being here. We love you and we praise the Lord for you. Without further ado, let's go before the Lord in prayer and hear what things He has given me to come and share. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to bless your name one more time because it's worthy of glory and blessing.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for who he is and what he has done to save his people and calling them to himself by Holy Spirit and the preaching of your word. Lord, now we ask that you come and speak to us by your word. May you give us the ears to hear, for left to ourselves we can't hear. May you enable that we may hear from you and not from me. Lord, we thank you for all these whom we have gathered this morning. May you bless them, each one as you please. We pray in Jesus' name. We are going to be working our way through a few verses that my brother, Elder Witherspoon, has already read, but for the purpose of those who may not have been in, we are going to be in Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And this is going to be from the New King James Version. I can't quite read the language of Zion. Praise the Lord, brother Elder Morris. Mark records for us and says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." And that's the word of the Lord. And for our title, we are going to have three titles. because I'm again still trying to outdo Elder Morris. The first title is Son of Timaeus. Son of Timaeus. And the second title is Have Mercy on Me. And the third title is The Gospel According to Bartimaeus. We have our introduction from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen." Brothers and sisters, I pray that the Lord would lead us this morning on the old paths. The good way. The old time religion, the gospel of free and sovereign grace. And I pray that you will find rest for your souls. For we are the young and the restless. And we could use some rest. And we hope by the Lord's grace that we will find a way to enter into His rest. And that rest is only through the old paths. But many are saying this morning, we will not walk in it and we will not listen. But there's one who heard of the old paths and listened. The blind beggar heard about the old paths. Passing through Jericho. And some tried to stop him, but he kept yelling, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And that will take us into our story. We are going to work our way through the story and try to understand the story as God would have us understand the gospel way. The blind beggar was in Jericho, and Jericho was a wealthy city according to the standards of those days. Obviously, it was not like a Los Angeles or a New York City or a Nashville. They, of course, did not have any drive-thrus. They did not have McDonald's, Taco Bells. But they had enough business going on to draw poor people to their streets like blind Bartimaeus. But blind Bartimaeus, unlike the blind beggar in John 9, seemed to have lost his sight some time later in his life. And how do I know that? Because when Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" he said, "May I regain my sight." So the assumption there is that some time before, Bartimaeus used to see, but something happened to him. He lost his sight probably to some sickness, maybe some viral infection. Who knows, but we know that he was blind and that he was a beggar. Now, if you got blind in those days, you became a beggar. Being blind and begging came in the same sentence. If you got blind, you became poor. And so you became a blind beggar. And there was no office for blind Bartimaeus to go get free government cheese or Cheerios or milk. There were no unemployment benefits. So as soon as you found yourself blind, you knew that your life was now at the mercy of others. You knew that your life was going to all be about begging. Now, if you're a beggar, you quickly learn that you only live by grace and mercy. And that's by grace alone. So grace alone is language that is plain to one who has spent most of their life begging. And that is why it is still difficult language for many in our time to accept in salvation. Why? Because God has not yet taught them who they truly are. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 6:45 said this, speaking to the Jews, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Yes. If God has taught you, you will come to him only as a blind beggar.
Wow. Yes. Lord, yes. Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And no other way.
Amen. Yes.
Good. Amen.
But we'll go into our text and we'll begin to work the verses from verse 46.
Yes, sir.
The text says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." The Lord, according to Mark's account, was leaving Jericho with his entourage, his disciples, and a great multitude. But the three synoptic gospels record this event with some divergent details. Matthew mentioned that there were two blind men in Matthew 20, verse 30. And Luke placed the incident at Jesus' approach to Jericho instead of his exit, according to Luke 18, verse 35. Probably there were two blind men who were involved, just like if you still remember the man who had the demoniac. One of the gospel accounts say there were two of them, but then Mark only has one. So the Lord would have us to focus on this vocal one, because the vocal one has some useful testimony that you need to hear. And as he went out, he was met by blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, just doing his daily business, sitting by the roadside, doing what? He was begging. Verse 47. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' But Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus who was passing by, and it was Jesus of Nazareth. But Bartimaeus had never seen Jesus, but he heard there was one called Jesus of Nazareth. And he was passing through town." And there may be someone here, some blind beggar. You see, the problem is that you guys all see, so you have no use for Jesus. But there might be just one blind beggar who might have heard that there's a conference in town, and they're going to be talking about Jesus. So stick around. The Lord may just be pleased to pass through even this morning. But there were many people who passed through this street every day. But there's only one who attracted the attention of Bartimaeus. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. But what attracted the attention of Bartimaeus, as a beggar, many would think he wanted to beg for money or some leftover sandwiches, some, "Jesus, do you have some double whopper?" Which is... supersize it. But Mias is not about to declare a year of victory in Jesus' name. He had better theology than that. But Mias had some time when he used to be able to walk to the temple by himself. He had about the Messiah. He had someone holding the scroll of Isaiah, and he continued to have that testimony, and he may have heard from Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, where he says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and I'll keep you, and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. So, but Mias has some understanding of who the Messiah is and what the work of the Messiah was. But not only that, he has some understanding that the Messiah also is the son of David. But before we got to this point, but Mias, when he became blind, his parents, like any caring parents, would have tried to help him seek help for his eyes. They also, like the woman with the issue of blood, had sought the help of many physicians, but no help. But you see, there was a stigma that was associated with being blind. You just did not become blind. There was stigma that came to the family because of that blindness. And how do I know that? John 9, verse 1, 3. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, they are trying to explain divine providence. You don't try to explain divine providence, because Jesus may just give you an answer different from your theology. Jesus answered, verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus saying, this is glory business, my friend. But the point is, there was always a stigma to being blind. And they did not have schools of the blind like we have in our time. They did not have that. So, but Mias heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, who was passing through, and that is the sure identity of the Messiah.
Yes.
Why? The identity of Christ matters in salvation.
Yes, it does.
Because if we deny that he is the Son of God, who is God the Son, Jesus is not just the Son of God, he is God the Son. But there are some smart people who say, oh, Jesus never said he was God. He was only the Son of God. Like, okay, what does that really mean? It means he is the revelation of God in the flesh. So he is the Son of God, come in the flesh, and the son of David, the seed of Abraham. And if we bring in other testimony that is not that of his identity, then we have not learned from God. Because if God has to teach you something about Jesus, he has to give you his correct ID.
Right.
If we deny the identity of Christ, we are denying his work. Because his work only has merit because of his identity.
Yeah.
You can say all the things that Jesus did and say someone else did it, and that would not save anyone.
Yes, sir.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And it has to be revealed.
Yes, sir.
As Elder McLeod said yesterday, Christianity is a revealed religion.
Yeah.
You don't get up and say, my life is boring, and I think today I'm going to go look for Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. Hold on.
For no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So the blind beggar is learning from God even as he is blind. Just as the thief on the cross was learning about Jesus as he was being crucified. The thief on the cross knew that Jesus had a kingdom.
Yes, sir.
He had a kingdom to go to, and also he knew that Jesus was not going to stay dead if he has a kingdom to go possess.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise God.
The thief on the cross understood that him and Jesus were not dying the same kind of death. They had the same crosses. They had the same nails. But the thief on the cross realized that he and Jesus were dying a different kind of death. And by the teaching of the Lord, he realized that his death was not sufficient for his own salvation. So he says, I see that Jesus, you are dying a better death than me, so I am putting myself in your own death.
Yeah.
Remember me when you get to your kingdom.
Yeah.
And that is some excellent class for one who is about to die.
Yeah.
That's good theology.
Yeah.
But the blind beggar, he has no bank account. He has no pension fund to liquidate. He has no 401k account or contributions. He's a blind beggar. But Mears was not on Obamacare. He had no health insurance, no Medicaid. And his interest in Jesus was not for his best life now. His interest in Jesus apparently was not food. You would have thought that as a blind beggar, his interest in Jesus would have been, Jesus, do we have some extra food with you? His interest was his eyes. He understood something that a lot of people don't understand. He understood that whatever problems he had were coming from his lack of sight.
That's good. Yeah.
But no one could open his eyes even for a fee. Even if he could sow a seed of a few pennies in the year 2017. The year 2017... I heard from some preacher, it's a perfect year because it has number 7. Sow your seed in the year 2017 and you get your blessing. But if his eyes have to be opened, they could only be opened one way. Blind Bartimaeus has to be healed freely. Because a blind beggar has but one option to have their eyes opened, and that is freely. And when he heard that Jesus was passing through town, he heard that Jesus was healing freely, even opening the eyes of the blind like his without health insurance or copay. Blind Bartimaeus believed that his eyes could be opened by Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
And that for free.
Free.
And that is the only way the eyes of a blind beggar can be opened. Why they can't afford a doctor's visit. They can't even afford to get to the doctor's office. They can't find their way there. It is the doctor who has to pay them a home visit and come where they are. And so the Lord did not find you and I in the pews singing Amazing Grace. No, he came and he found you on the roadside of Jericho. Poor and blind and a beggar. And that means with no righteousness. And so Jesus in Jericho has an appointment with Bartimaeus.
Yes, sir.
Jesus has an appointment with Bartimaeus just as he had an appointment with the Samaritan woman at the well.
Yes, sir.
God schedules all appointments with Jesus. Jesus knows about Bartimaeus not from the Jericho Daily News, but because of God's appointment. Jesus knows about Bartimaeus because Bartimaeus is sheep. He was given to him by the Father from before the foundation of the world. So the blind beggar had the gospel of free and sovereign grace. Someone told him the truth about salvation, that Jesus healed, he justified freely without the works of the law. But Mias understands Tulip more than most pulpits and most professing Christians. But Mias knows the gospel, and let us hear the Tulip, the doctrines of grace, according to Bartimaeus. Verse 47. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And some will argue and say, no, that is not tulip. Yes, that is tulip. If we understand what it means, tulip is summarized in one sentence. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. There's no freewheeler who preaches such a gospel back to Jesus. But Mias was a sovereign grace believer and an able preacher. And he was not the only one. Here, another testimony of another very able sovereign grace preacher from Mark 1:40. Mark records and says, now a leper came to him. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Not, I invited you, Jesus. I decided. I am making you Lord and Savior. No, a true sovereign grace preacher and believer says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And what's that? It's calling on grace alone. That is a very clear understanding of the doctrines of grace as you'll find them. Because the man with leprosy, the text says he had leprosy from his head to the toe. He had leprosy from the head to the toes, which means he was completely covered in leprosy.
Yes, sir.
And leprosy is a type of sin, and that means he was a complete sinner. And Jesus only heals complete sinners. You have to be a complete sinner because Jesus is a complete Savior.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Jesus did not make salvation possible for the wise, for those who could just come and exercise their faith and make sense of their investment in Jesus. Like they're on Wall Street. They're picking out stocks. And I think I'm going to pick out the Jesus stock. It's been doing well since the elections.
Wow.
You can't have the testimony of, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Unless you are a blind beggar and you are full of leprosy. But the problem is, we are too clean for Jesus. We are too clean to come and say, Lord, I am unclean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And when the leper came to Jesus was talking to people who were still under the old covenant. So the leper coming to Jesus and asking him and using that language of, if you are willing, you can make me clean, he is appealing to Jesus as the high priest. Because according to the law, if you go and read the law, it is only the high priest who could pronounce one as clean or unclean. So you see, these guys had some good understanding of gospel. But there are some who were not happy with that testimony. They did not like the spirit that had possessed Bartimaeus. The spirit that confessed of Christ with such boldness. Listen to verse 48, going back to Mark 10. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. What were they trying to do? They were trying to stop him from preaching the gospel of grace. And these are always found where Jesus is found. You're always going to find people who will stop you from preaching the gospel. They want to silence the testimony of Christ and say, be quiet. Stop preaching that gospel of free and sovereign grace. You make people sinners. You can't just tell people that they are free in Christ. You have to give them something. You have to give them some Moses. God helps only those who help themselves. But you can't be quiet when Jesus is calling you. You can't be quiet when Jesus has bid you to come. So Jesus, verse 49, stood still. Verse 49, Mark 10. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. What drew the attention of Jesus? Why did Jesus hear the blind beggar? There are two reasons. Maybe three. The blind beggar understood the terms of grace. The blind beggar was sheep. Jesus had the call of his sheep in distress. And he stopped and said, that is one of mine. Because Bartimaeus was not the only blind beggar on the street. There's a way that blind Bartimaeus called on Jesus that drew the attention of Jesus. There's a way to talk to Jesus that draws his attention. You have to speak the Jesus language. Jesus knew by the way that he called, just like a mother knows when their child cries, like, that is one of mine. Even if there are, I have five kids now.
Bless your heart.
And I can tell when one of mine is in distress.
Yes, sir.
I can tell. Because they are mine. But there's another reason why Jesus had the voice of Bartimaeus. And we're going to find the reason in Luke chapter 14. Go with me to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to read a few verses. Verses 16 to 24. Luke records for us, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said to him, this is the parable of the dinner. A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, and blind and lame. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. So the Lord gives this parable, and we are told of 3 groups of people and their excuses for not wanting to come. And I really like the person who said, well, I just got married. Jesus, we have tickets to go on a cruise. We can't come. But listen to the instruction in verse 21. Verse 21 says, and the slave came back and reported to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city. Do you know the location? The lanes and the street. That's where Bartimaeus is. And bring in here the poor, the crippled, and blind, and lame. And thus Jesus' guest list. So, Bartimaeus was had because he was on Jesus' guest list. All the sheep of Christ are on the guest list. And look again at the qualities of the people who were on the guest list. You see, all the other guys had money to go on a cruise. These are the poor, the crippled. They are poor. They have no righteousness. They are crippled. Their walk is not right with God. They are blind. They can't see their way. And they are lame. And Jesus stops and says, he's one of mine. He is on the guest list. Verse 15. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. What do you want me to do for you? And if it were the majority of Christendom as we know it, this would be a time to declare the year of prosperity. This would be the year to tell Jesus about what's going on at work. What's going on in the marriage? What's going on at home? what's going on with whatever it is. We have been trying to buy this house, Jesus, but for some reason, we are not qualifying for the loan. Help us, Jesus. But that's not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus only has one request. And the request is in keeping with those who are on the guest list of Jesus. Bartimaeus' request as the question was very simple. What do you want me to do for you? It's not like Jesus doesn't know what Bartimaeus wants. Jesus is not getting information from Bartimaeus about his situation because Jesus knows something about the blindness as he knows something about the blindness of the man in John 9. Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. He wants to receive his sight. But before we get some more understanding from that, who else? I would like to show you somewhere else where God taught this. This was taught before. It's not new teaching. God taught it in 1 Samuel. Let's go with me. 1 Samuel 22. Yes, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 and 2. Who else has run to David before? Who else has run to the son of David before? 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. David therefore departed from there. If you know the story, David is coming away from Achish, king of Gath. And Gath was one of the five cities of the Philistines. And this was the city of Goliath. And so he is running away from King Saul. King Saul wants David dead. So King was not king yet. So David escaped to the cave of Adullam. And so we are told, and when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, when they heard that David had escaped to the cave of Adullam, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and so he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. And that, my friends, that is Jesus again with his guest list in the cave of Adullam. David escapes to the cave of Adullam, and all his brothers and all of his father's house. You didn't hear me. David escapes to the cave of Adullam, and all his brothers and all his father's house heard it. They also heard about the cave of refuge, and they went down there to him to seek refuge, not in the cave, but with David. But not only they, but everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he turned none away. See again the qualifications of those who ran to seek refuge with David. They were in distress. They were in debt. They could not pay. And they were discontented. So if you are in distress and you are in debt and you are discontented, you run to the cave of Adullam to seek refuge with the son of David. And blind Bartimaeus heard that the son of David had opened another cave of Adullam. So he called on him and said, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Allow me to come and seek refuge in your cave." And the son of David stopped. He did not turn him away because he was sheep. But listen to this. The blind man, when he heard that Jesus was calling him to come, He threw away his garment. He rose and came to Jesus. And it seems to me, he went running to Jesus because he did not just remove his garment, he threw it away.
Yeah.
It's like, he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man says, "I want to regain my sight." But let's work a little bit of understanding on what is happening with the garment. Because God has spoken about it before in Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24, verse 12 and 13, this is what God said to the children of Israel. And if the man is poor, sounds like Bartimaeus, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall in any case return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you, and it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. So this is why the commandment was given. This is Palestine, and it gets dust storms during the day. And during the night, the temperature really dips, and it gets very cold. So blind Bartimaeus is a poor blind beggar who lives on the street. And so he has this cot to cover himself. It is the most precious possession that he has. So blind Bartimaeus, on hearing that Jesus was calling him, he threw away his most precious possession. Even before his eyes had been opened. Why did he do that? Because he was a gospel preacher. Why? No one can come to Christ with their own covering, not with their own righteousness. They have to take off, lay aside all that they put their security in, that they may come to Christ. Jesus is not going to put his righteousness on top of your own righteousness. Blind Bartimaeus knows something about nothing in my hand I bring. Lord have mercy. Blind Bartimaeus has a complete testimony of the gospel, so he takes away his most precious possession as a picture of the gospel of grace. And that is the only way that Jesus is going to stop and hear you. That is the only way that you're going to call Jesus and he'll hear you. You see, Jesus is still God. Even as he is walking Jericho, he is still running the show every corner of the universe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what do you have to say for him to stop? Jesus is still God. The fullness of God dwells in him. And yet he stops and says, "That's one of mine." This is the only way Jesus recognizes His sheep know his name, and they know his voice, and they take off their garments, their own righteousness, when they come to him. But Bartimaeus' eyes were already opened before they were opened. Blind Bartimaeus could already see before his eyes had been opened. He could see Christ even though he was still physically blind. And Saul only saw Christ. Actually, Apostle Paul, the first time that he saw Christ, he saw him when what had happened to him, when he became blind. Saul only saw Jesus when he became blind. So there's none who see Jesus unless they become blind to their own righteousness. One has to be blind to their own righteousness before they can come to Christ. And this is not my teaching, it's Jesus' teaching. Let's hear John 9, 35 and 41. We'll be done soon. We'll be done today. John 9, 35 to 41. You know the story very well. It's the healing of the man born blind and the very wonderful conversation and exchange that Jesus had with those Pharisees. And at the end of this chapter, John records for us and says, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and that's the blind man. And finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And he said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we? Jesus, what do you say about us? What's your evaluation?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Since you say you see, your sin remains." So the only way to come to Jesus is to come as a blind beggar. You have to come in your blindness. But there's more. As we draw to a finish. Who is Bartimaeus? He is the son of Timaeus. Remember Barabbas, the thief, the murderer, trouble causer. Bar means son, and Abba means father. And so Barabbas means son of the fathers. If you still remember, James and John were trying to call fire from heaven. And Jesus called them the sons of thunder. Judas was the son of perdition, one destined to destruction. So son did not necessarily mean that was his name at the Social Security office. It just described the nature, depending on the context, the behavior, attitude, or character of the person. And so, Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. Timaeus was a Chaldean name, that is the area around Iraq, which meant unclean. So, Bartimaeus meant the son of unclean. Why son of unclean? Because every blind beggar is unclean. Every sinner is unclean. It doesn't matter how good they smell. They are unclean. And this is gospel teaching to say every sinner is blind, they are unclean, and the only way they can come to Jesus is by begging for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me because I am unclean. And if you are unclean, there's nothing that you can make clean. Everything that you touch becomes unclean. So you need someone who is clean in themselves to pronounce you as clean. And those are the terms of grace. Those are the terms of salvation. And when you beg for mercy, Jesus hears you and says, verse 52, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And look on this one, In Luke 18, verse 43, this is what Luke says. Luke says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Why? Because if you have come to the testimony of who you truly are before God, you realize that you are unclean, you are poor, and you are a beggar. And those are the terms of salvation. You have no other way to approach him. And when you understand that about yourself, you can only glorify God for who you are in Christ. You are not going to talk about you and your decision and your running and your effort. You only glorify God for his grace in Christ Jesus. But listen to what Jesus was saying when he said to the blind man, Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Faith in what? Faith itself is not the power that made him well. Faith has an object. Faith looks to someone outside the person exercising the faith. So your faith is in a person.
Yes.
Your faith in me, not your faith in your faith, not your faith in exercising your faith,
yeah.
No, but your looking to me has made you well.
Yes, sir.
Because when you look into Jesus, you are saying, Jesus, I am a complete sinner and you are a complete savior. And I am looking wholly for my healing, my salvation, my justification, my sanctification, and my glorification in you. Jesus says, son of unclean, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way. I have made you clean. I have pronounced you clean. You are clean by the word that I have spoken. I have justified you. Because you see, you can't be clean if you're not justified. If you're justified, it means you're clean before God. It means your guilty state before God has been removed. And Jesus alone has that prerogative to pronounce you as clean. You are clean, for you have left your garment that had your own righteousness, that I may bestow you with my own righteousness. Romans 10, 10, 11. Need one more minute and we'll be done. If you can believe a preacher. Well, I was told that I could actually borrow time. I have 15 minutes from Elder Banks last night. Romans 10, Romans 10, 10, 11. For with the heart one believes, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Whoever calls on the Lord will not be put to shame. But Mias was not put to shame. He was justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And we'll close this way. We'll close it from the same text that we went to in 1 Samuel with the words of King David in Samuel 22:33. David, when he had gathered his people to himself, at the very end of the chapter, he said this to them. Stay with me and do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life. But with me, you shall be safe. Stay with me and you shall be safe. Abide in Christ. Stay in him. Keep walking the old paths of peace. Stand in the old ways. And see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you do what? You find rest for your souls.
Yeah.
And that's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm done.